Words for Life today is by Pastor Rob Buckingham of Bayside Church in Cheltenham, here in the southern suburbs of Melbourne.
Let's go to Revelation chapter 1 together, shall we? In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. I want to talk about everyone this morning in regard to ministry, because invariably when we think of ministry, we think of a few. We often, when we think of ministry, we connect it just to church, and we think of the 1% or the 2% of people that are specifically called by God to a church-based ministry, and we think that they're the ministers and everybody else is not. Everyone a priest, everyone an ambassador, everyone a minister. Each and every one of you fall into all of those three categories. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, and it just starts off here with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that to me is an extremely important statement because, again, a lot of people get a little confused with the book of Revelation, and there's some confusing stuff in there. Some of the symbolism and so on and so forth. But, you know, when you cut through all of that, what revelation ultimately is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation that Jesus gave, and it's the revelation of him as a person. And so when you read through the book of Revelation, don't get too bogged down in some of the details and the intricacies of it. The most important thing you can take from the book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus, of who Jesus is, of what he's done, and who he is for you, and who he is for this world. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. If you go down to verse 5, you'll see some things there that reveal something of Jesus, of who Jesus is. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is, number one, the faithful witness, number two, the firstborn from the dead, and number three, the ruler of the kings of the earth. There's three very important revelations of Jesus right there. Number one, it says he's the faithful witness. In other words, he constantly bears witness to the truth. The word witness there is from the Greek word martus, which means martyr. And so to a point, this statement here about Jesus being the faithful witness has to do with his death. He faithfully died for you and I on a cross. He paid the price so that we would be able to pass from death to life. That's a revelation of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. He is a faithful witness. He bears witness to the fact that God loves everyone, that God loves this world so much that he gave his son to die, to pay the price for each and every one of our sins. That tells us something of who Jesus is. Number two, it says he's the firstborn of the dead. Now, he wasn't the first man to be raised from the dead. There's been plenty of people in the Old Testament and even around the ministry of Jesus. He raised people from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. But Jesus is different to all the others. You see, all the others were raised from the dead and then at some subsequent time they died. That's the way of all men. All of us sitting here one day, sooner or later, are going to die. Unless Jesus returns in the meantime, in which case we're going to be caught up together with him in the air. That's going to be a rather exciting time, isn't it? Especially if you're at work at the time and you're having a bad day. It's like, come on, catch me out of here, you know, kind of thing. But Jesus is the firstborn from among the dead. In other words, he was the first one to die, to be raised from the dead, who would never die again. And so 2,000 years ago, Jesus died and then he rose again and he didn't die again. I said that in an RE class one day many years ago. I said, you know, Jesus died, and then 3 days later he rose from the dead, and he didn't die again. What does that mean? And a little boy put his hand up and said, it means he's really, really old. And that's a true statement, but it also means that he is still alive, and he ever lives, the Bible says, to make intercession for us. Right now, Jesus is praying for you. Every time you're going through a tough time, Jesus is praying for you to the Father. That's why you're going to make it. You're going to get through out the other side. So be encouraged by that. It gives you a revelation of who Jesus is and what he's doing. And then number three, it says he's the ruler of the kings of the earth. In other words, he is the ultimate authority in this world. Jesus is the ruler of the kings. In one part of scripture, it refers to Jesus as the King of Kings. And he's the Lord of Lords. In other words, all of the authorities in the world, Jesus is the authority over the authorities. And it's in this position of authority that he then bestows authority and power upon his church. And see what that authority and power is. Let's keep reading in that second part of that verse. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests, to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. He has made us to be a kingdom of priests. We are part of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. They're interchangeable terms here on earth. And God, through the person of Jesus Christ, has made each and every one of us here in this place, each and every person that names the name of Jesus in this world, he has made us to be a kingdom of priests. Sometimes people don't know, you know, how to address me as a minister of a church, you know, and I've had people over the years ask me, are you a priest? And I tell them yes. And I'm not fibbing. If you got asked that question, you'd be able to say, yes, you're a priest as well, because that's what the Bible says. You see, in the Old Testament, there were just a few people that were the priests. They were the Levitical tribe. People that were born into the tribe of the Levites would become the priestly tribe, and they would spend their life serving God and serving the people of God. It was just a select group of people. But when you come into the New Testament, it's not just a select group of people. It's everyone who names the name of Jesus. You are a priest of the living God. That simply means you serve God and you serve others with your God-given gift. He has made us to be a kingdom of priests. You're a priest. You serve God and you serve others. It's about everyone, not just a few. Number two, everyone's an ambassador. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Everyone here in this place today is an ambassador of Jesus Christ. An ambassador is simply someone who serves their country in a foreign land. Right now, all around the world, there are ambassadors from Australia in probably pretty well every capital city of every nation in the world. There's a few nations where we're not welcome. There's other nations where we've withdrawn our ambassador as a protest, normally to protest human rights abuses in various countries. And that's a righteous thing, to make that protest, to withdraw our ambassador. But the majority of countries around the world, we have an ambassador, a representative of Australia in that country. They're not from Australia. They're not from that country. They're from Australia. They're a foreigner in a strange land, but they represent our country there. And in the same way, there are people, representatives of different nations, most of them would be in Canberra, in embassies in Canberra, representing their nation here. They're not from Australia, they're from another country, but they're representing their country here in Australia. The Bible says that each and every one of us are ambassadors for Christ. What that means is we're actually living right now in a foreign country. Ever felt that the world is not really your home? I have. I've all my life, I felt kind of like I didn't really totally belong here. And then I discovered why. I don't. The Bible says that we are aliens and strangers here on this planet. My daughter, Georgia Grace, my eldest, was talking to me. She's got a fascination about aliens at the moment. And she said, do you think aliens exist, Daddy? I said, oh, yes, certainly. And she looked at me really, really excited, you know. Like, yeah? I said, yeah, I'm one. And she, yeah, sure. I said, yeah, I am, and so are you. And I told her about this scripture. We are aliens. You see, we are strangers. We're foreigners here on this planet. This world is not our home. This is just, we're just passing through. We're heading back home one day, and it's going to be a wonderful day when we go back to planet heaven, isn't it? It's going to be great. And right now, we're just ambassadors for Jesus living in a foreign land. And so wherever you go, whatever you do, you are a representative of heaven. The Bible says that our citizenship is of heaven. You have a heavenly passport. It's a spiritual one. You can't see it, but you just believe it. And this Bible is kind of like the handbook from home, if you like. And every time you read through the Bible, you're getting a glimpse of what your real home is really all about and really like. And wherever you go, you are representing heaven on earth. In your workplace, you're representing heaven. You might think that you've got the job from hell, the workplace from that other place, but when you're there, there's a touch of heaven. there in your work. You bring the presence of God with you. You bring heaven into your workplace. You bring heaven into your family. You bring heaven into your school or to your university or to your TAFE college. You bring heaven wherever you go. Heaven on earth, because you're there, because you are Christ's ambassador here on earth. Amen. That's why Jesus said part of the prayer that we are to pray is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is accomplished perfectly in heaven. And wherever we go, we're to pray that prayer. Lord, your will be done today. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help me, Lord, this day to be a good representative of my home place of heaven on earth today. Everyone an ambassador for Jesus. And then finally, everyone's a minister. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And it was he, talking about Jesus, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Now, those gifts are what we often refer to as the ministers. But we do that incorrectly. That they are ministers, but that's not the sum total of minister or ministry. It's important that we understand that they are people that are called to full-time, vocational, church-based ministry. But this is not the sum total of ministry here. Apostles, just very quickly to give you a definition, are people that go and pioneer churches and then oversee a group of churches. All right, so they go into different areas, they start different churches, they get them up and running, raise up leaders, so on and so forth, and then they continue to oversee and have relationship with those churches. Prophets are those who have insight and foresight. They're able to look into your life, and they're able to look beyond through the tunnel of time, if you like, and talk about things in the future. Prophetic ministry. Evangelists are not those just those who bring people to Jesus, but they are those who train people to be effective soul winners. That's what the task of an evangelist is. And then pastors and teachers. A pastor is someone who looks after people, who cares for, who shepherds. The word pastor simply means a shepherd. And so cares for people. A teacher is someone who teaches the word of God. I'm exercising this morning the gift of a teacher here. I'm teaching you principles from the word of God that hopefully are going to light a fire within you and change your world and change your perspective. So that when you leave this place and you go back out into the foreign country that we live in, you'll be a better representative of heaven on earth in your workplace, in your school, in your university, in your sphere of influence. Let us go on. In verse 12, it tells us why God gave us these apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It says in verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service. Some translations translate the word service as ministry. It's the Greek word diakonia. We get our word deacon from that. It simply means someone who serves or someone who ministers. That's what a minister is. A minister is somebody who serves God and serves others. So every single one of you today are a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why in our newsletter, you'll notice, and we've had it there right from March 1992 when we pioneered Bayside Church, it says, ministers, all the people in partnership with Bayside Church. If this is your church home, if you're connected here, if you're giving here, if you're receiving here, if you're part of this church community, you are one of the ministers of this church community. This church doesn't just have one minister. I'm not the minister of Bayside Church. We don't just have a ministry team. We have a whole group of people, all ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. If someone asks you, how many ministers do you have at Bayside? You can tell them hundreds and hundreds of ministers. And they'll go, my goodness, how big is your church? Well, hundreds and hundreds. That's what it is. Because every single person is a minister. The Bible says that these fivefold ministries, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher are given to prepare God's people for works of service. The word prepare there is a very interesting word. In the Greek language, it actually means to mend nets. It's a fishing term. In other words, the fishermen go out in their boat, they've got their nets, they're all ready. They throw the nets out, and over the process of time, the nets get full of fish. They drag the nets in up onto the boat, and they take them to shore. And they pluck out all the good fish, but then what's left is the nets need to have some time spent on them. The nets are in disrepair now. Some of the nets are torn because something too heavy got in there. There's stuff, there's seaweed all tangled up in it. There's rocks and bits and pieces all in the nets. And the fishermen need to spend some time cleaning the nets and mending the nets and getting the nets ready, prepared to go back out into the sea and do what the nets have been made to do. What a beautiful definition of church. What a beautiful definition of what we're doing here today. What we're doing here today, part of what we're doing is mending nets. You see, when you go out into the world, into your workplace and wherever you happen to go during the week, you get a little tangled up with some stuff. You know, you get a little bit torn in places. Things happen that hurt. You get a bit of junk picked up along the way. Things that you've heard, things that you've seen, all that kind of stuff. And you come along to church, and my job on a weekend is to mend nets, to help you get untangled, to pick out bits of junk and seaweed and all that kind of stuff that tangles you up and messes you up. And to mend the areas that have been torn. And then what we do at the end of the service is we throw you out again. It's like, okay, come on then. You're cleaned up. You're mended. Off you go. Throw you out into the world again. Go to be fishers of men. Fishers of people. Effective. Prepared. Ready for works of ministry. Because that's what the Bible says, that these gifts that God has placed in the church are for the preparing of God's people for works of ministry. It's what you're called to be. A lot of people have a narrow-based perspective of ministry. Ministry begins and ends with what they do for a church. I want to broaden your thinking way beyond that. Praise God for all the people that get involved in church doing phenomenal work, and your church-based ministry is absolutely sensational. And if you're not involved in some way, please get involved. But also realize that your involvement with a local church is not the beginning and end of your ministry. Some people have such a narrow-based view. I've heard people over the years say things like, you know, Pastor Rob, I'm going to leave my job so I can get involved in the ministry. Now, I hear what they're saying because those people are invariably called to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. And they'll never be settled in a workplace because they know that they have another calling in a church-based ministry. But can I tell you, you do not leave your work to join the ministry. You need to see that your work right now is ministry. What you're doing, serving God and serving others. I've had ladies, particularly over the years, say to me, you know, Pastor Rob, I've just had a baby and my kids are little at the moment and they're occupying a lot of my time. But, you know, once they're grown up a little bit, I'll get back involved in ministry again. Again, wrong perspective, narrow-based perspective. I broaden your thinking. What better ministry than to minister to your children, to raise up some godly little ones to become godly, responsible adults in a world where they're going to make a huge difference. Think about that. Your ministry's in your home right now. If you got little kids, you know, you're busy, you're flat out, you're doing stuff, and you're raising those children up to be a great witness in this world for the kingdom of God. That's ministry. Amen. And so have a broader-based view of ministry. The word ministry refers to all the ways that we serve others with our God-given gifts. I recognize that whenever I serve others, I'm serving God. That's what Jesus talked about in Matthew in chapter 25. He said, whenever you do for the least of one of these, you're doing it for me. We need to have that perspective, church. Whatever we're doing in our community during the week, we're doing it for Jesus. Wherever we're serving God, wherever we're serving people, we're serving Jesus. Whenever we're helping someone, in whatever way, we're serving him. And so at home, you're serving your husband, you're serving your wife, you're serving your kids. That is ministry. You're serving there. So important. Do some good stuff. Bless. Bless your children. Serve your kids. Spend time with them. I think that's the best way you can serve your children. Lay hands on them. Pray for them. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them how much you love them. Hug them on a regular basis. All those things, serving your children, serving at home. Home is ministry. You know, some people think that they're just serving God here and then they go home. and they're a saint here, and they're like Satan when they get home. You know? No, it's ministry everywhere. Ministry everywhere. At study, if you're at university or a school or a learning institution at the moment, you are there to serve, and you're also there to have your God-given gifts fine-tuned so that you'll be more effective in service in the years to come. And then at work, serving people with your skills, whatever you do. I was trying to think this week of a job where you don't actually serve people. I can't think of one. Every job that there is, you're serving someone. Even if you're sitting in an office on your own, you're still serving people. Whatever job you do, you are having an impact on the community in some shape or form. You've got to broaden your thinking in regard to your job. A lot of people, they just go to work and they go to work to earn money to enjoy the weekend. If that's you, that's you know, maybe that's a season that you're in, but can you broaden your thinking? It really, you know, the whole money thing should be number four or number five on the list. You know, job satisfaction, ways you can impact other people and so on and so forth. In your workplace, you are serving others. You are serving the community. You are a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ in your workplace, using your God-given gifts to serve God and to serve others. Everyone is a priest. Everyone is an ambassador. Everyone is a minister. In Luke 19:13, Jesus said, "Do business till I come back." In other words, do business in the marketplace. Do what you're gifted for until Jesus returns. I want to finish up with an email that I received from a lady in our church. And it was while I was speaking about some of these things that I've talked about. And I asked her for permission to read this, and she said, "Yep, not a problem." So I just want to read it to you this morning. It says, "Hi, Rob. If only I could give you a high five through an email just to let you know that I got so much out of the service on Sunday about Christians in the marketplace. Firstly, the part about the wealthy needing help just as much as the impoverished. I thought, wow, that is so insightful and true. It really hit home for me. As a personal fitness trainer, I spend most of my working time with very wealthy people. I often perceive my services as a luxury item and hence not really that important. What you said really made me wake up and realize that the time I spend with these clients is much more than just a workout, and that through my faith I can do more for them in my thoughts, actions, and words. Your message has totally changed my mindset when I go to work. I want to work more from my heart, and what I learned really helped me in that way." And she says, "Thank you," at the end. That is gold to me, because that's exactly what I want to do in teaching the youth. Is broaden your thinking to help you see that all of life is about ministry. Remember that. You're a priest. You're an ambassador. You are a minister. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you're representing heaven on earth. The people that you come in contact with through the week, you might be the only Christian they know. You are right now their point of contact with planet heaven, and the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make the most of every opportunity. Words for